Well, another exciting day at the ballpark. It's going to be tough to top last night. Giants 8-5 last night with six in the bottom of the ninth. Wow, what a day at the ballpark. All right, Mark Simon joins us of Sports Info Solutions. On Twitter, Mark A. Simon says, always great to talk ball with you, Mark. How are you?
Hey, Marty. It's great to talk with you as well.
Yeah, boy, last night, and probably half the crowd went home in the bottom of the ninth inning. But look, it's 5-2, haters on the mound, and you did give up the three-run homer to the Twins a couple of days before. But, boy, that was a tough sell, and they got it done.
Yeah, really amazing. One of the more remarkable wins, I think, that you'll see. Like, just for, I think, the combination of who they did it against and how they did it, I think asking for three home runs in a game is hard. Asking for three in an inning against that guy with one of them coming from a lefty. Hader doesn't give up home runs to lefties. He barely gives up hits to lefties. The ball falling in front of the right fielder along the right field line. Especially after what had happened the day before and what happened earlier in the game with all the defensive mishigas. It was the first walk-off grand slam since 1973. Bobby Bonds, I looked it up. Bonds said I was just coming for the sack fly. Walter Alston said I never saw anything like that before. They were up. I think the Dodgers were up like 8-1, and they blew that one. So there's the connection for comebacks there. But yesterday, yeah, that's hard to top. Like I always say for things like that, that's an old timer, and that was definitely an old timer.
Well, it was great. And the other thing I thought about is the platooning that the Giants do. And I thought it worked beautifully last night because here's Hader, the lefty. And the way Kapler has the batting order in the ninth inning, and of course it broke this way. It doesn't always happen. But he had six right-handed hitters in a row coming up, including the pinch hitters. And then Yaz is the lefty. But they're actually doing a good job right-handed hitting against left-handed pitching, where earlier in the year it wasn't like that.
Yeah, the numbers are really, and yesterday certainly helps, but it's like if you imagined a player, this is basically a player's season line, their numbers against left-handed, their numbers for right-handed hitters against the lefty pitchers this year, 277 with 31 home runs, 94 RBIs, and 541 at-bats. That's basically the equivalent of an all-star hitter, right? Like, that's awesome. They have the highest slugging right-handed batters against left-handed pitching in the league, again, partly thanks to last night, and their OPS, right-handed hitters against left-handed pitching, first in baseball after last night, 860. And just and the thing that goes with that, too, is VR and Mercedes have added to that by what they've done so far.
Boy, and then look at today. You get Eric Lauer today, 18 home runs, 16 to right-handed batters, and his ratio, ground balls to fly balls, many more fly balls. So how about today?
Yeah, and he has interesting combinations of stats. Like his fastball, the numbers against it bat. Like if we just said, oh, opponents are hitting 185 against the fastball, you can't really do that because he's given up eight home runs against the fastball this season. So his slugging percentage with the fastball is 423, which is not that good. Like you would expect like a higher batting average. We have 423, but he just, if you either get nothing or you get a lot out of it. And we know that the Giants tend to be get a lot out of it or get nothing kind of hitters based on the batting average slugging percentage combo this season. So he does kind of feed into what they do. And they're 17-10 against left-handed starters this year. We wouldn't have figured that, as you said, not too long ago, but tonight that definitely plays in their favor.
And the other thing about Lauer, and look, I remember him for San Diego. I never remember him as a strikeout pitcher. And, of course, everyone in baseball has more strikeouts than innings pitched just about, including him. Where did that come from?
Yeah, I don't know. If you go back two starts ago against the Cubs, he had nine strikeouts, and they were all on the fastball, which is 93 miles per hour. It's not like a 96 or a 97. I'm presuming that he's just locating it well and mixing it very well with the combination of other things that he throws. The slider for him has typically been very good. His fastball has been much more of a strikeout pitch this year, I think, than in years past.
Well, it's going to be interesting. So Eric Lauer, now he goes against Alex Cobb, And, boy, I call him Hard Luck Alex Cobb. It just seems like everything goes wrong. But I'll tell you one thing. When people get on base, he gives up some hits and gives up some runs. But here he is. Junis is coming in behind him. What about Alex Cobb today?
Yeah, Alex Cobb, I think you call him Hard Luck. I feel like you have to kind of call him Snowball. Because it's like one thing happens, you get that weird infield hit that goes like 55 feet, or that ball in the shortstop third base hole that the guy gets to but can't make the play, and then it all kind of comes apart. His numbers are very good when nobody's on base, but then when that first guy gets on base, 287 batting average, which is and considerably worse than typical, and about an 800 OPS, which is considerably worse than typical. Now, again, the shame of it is that if the infield defense had performed for him this season, we might be talking about a guy with a mid-threes, low-threes ERA. Haven't seen that as much yet this season, but maybe in the second half that's something that will come through for him. And boy, it's good to have Junis back, certainly, with how he's been, with how he was essentially the first go-round. He was the perfect project for them, and he's worked out really well.
No, he's been terrific, and they'll get him back today. They've activated him today. Yovera on the IL. Crawford on the IL, and Longoria has been activated as well, a right-hander against the left-hander Lauer. No surprise there. The other part about Cobb, a lot of dribblers get on. You know, the softly hit balls. And then like you said it, and I agree, when people get on base, he doesn't shut it down. But Rodgers goes through this as well, and I want to get your thought on Rodgers, what's going on with him, because it was disaster again for him last night. But, of course, Rodgers, dribblers, people get on. Cobb, dribblers, people get on. I guess there's nothing you can do about it, but it does go into your stats of ground balls that aren't converted into outs.
Yeah, the Giants' problems with ground balls this year are kind of twofold. They are onefold the fact that, quite frankly, you know, Crawford and second base and third base just haven't been as good. And you get the adventures of Lamont Wade yesterday with the wandering off first base to try and make that play. And they've had their share of those type of plays at a greater level than they did, they're on a much greater pace for those this year than they were last season. The second piece of it is Mike Kruko calls the Tyler Rogers special, which is the infield hit on the ball that travels like 50 or 60 feet. They've already almost given up as many infield hits that went 70 feet. That's the pitcher's mound or right down the lines or like a chopper kind of thing as they did all of last season, which is, quite frankly, ridiculous. And again, as you said, there's not much they can do about it. I don't think Tyler Rogers has had a particularly bad first half. I think he's been victim of the snowball as well. It's like one of these things happens, then he walks a guy, and then all it takes is one hit, like one legit thing after a series of odd flukes. Like I think he could be a lot better than he's shown so far.
Well, he had some flukes and walks that got him in trouble to Adames. Then McCutchen blasted one down the left field line, and three runs came in. Tyler Rogers makes me nervous. Does he make you nervous?
You know what was funny? I felt that more last year, and then I kind of got used to it because he got through it so many times. And maybe the story of it was that was a little bit more than he should have gotten through it. And now we're kind of balancing the ledgers on that. So I would say not as much as maybe you would think. But I feel like I experienced all of that last season when he would come in because I would be convinced that someone would hit a ball 420 feet against him, and it never seemed to happen.
No, that doesn't happen. But for some reason, disaster follows this guy around. So we'll see what happens there. Who's the umpire today? Boy, Gabe Morales, you never knew what was being called. Even the guy Thursday night, it was trouble. Who's behind the dish tonight?
So I believe it's going to be Pat Hoberg, who has umpired a couple of games against the Giants this season, or with the Giants this season. He used to have a small strike zone. He's opened it up a little bit. The thing that I remember about him, and I don't remember what the exact piece of data was on this, but it was that he's a more consistent ump than what we saw last night, because what we saw last night felt like if I had been behind the plate guessing. Gabe Morales the guy got to the major leagues. I'm sure he's a very good umpire. His night last night was a bit of an adventure, just because you never knew, like, which was he could call the same pitch twice in a row and call it differently both times, and that was certainly a little frustrating.
Well, we'll see what happens, but yeah, if the box is accurate, the ball would hit the line, and he'd be calling it a ball. You just never knew what was going to happen.
In the MLB scoring of that, like when they grade umpires, he's graded fine on that. Like he's given leeway on that.
Sure.
So it's not necessarily reflected in his, like in the official MLB ledgers. And he's actually one of the umpires at the All-Star game. As a matter of fact, he's got the left field line.
Great. Well, don't hit it down left field then. Okay. I gotcha. All right. All right. How are your Mets doing? They had a good, Scherzer looked great against Atlanta. They had a good series.
Marty, I put the game on pause because there was a runner on third with two outs in the bottom of the 10th in a 1-1 game with the Cubs. I put it on pause to talk to you, so I don't know what just happened in the game.
Something Neither do
happened,
I.
I don't know. What would I say about the Mets, though? I would say that I still think they're going to win 100 games. Like, I haven't seen anything that makes me think otherwise. I feel like they hit enough. They're going to get to ground back. They have too many veteran players. They're going to make moves after the All-Star break for sure. Just watch David Robertson pitch the 9th and the 10th, and he looks fantastic. And I have to think that he's high on their radar to add a bullpen arm. I would think that they'll add a bat, too, who can be a designated hitter. I think they're going to be all right.
All right. I want Robertson here. That's the guy I want.
All right. Everybody does.
All right. Be well. Always a pleasure, Mark.
Thanks, Marty. See ya.
Always a pleasure. All right, that's Mark Simon, Sports Info Solutions. All right, coming up next, Will the Thrill Clark. Will Clark, talk with him about many things. Coming up next right here on the Sports Leader.